Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. This is Shane Vanderhart. We've got a great show coming up. There's been a lot of talk about the hurricane recovery, in particular with Puerto Rico. And coming up, I'm going to be talking to David Melber, who is the vice president of Send Relief, which is a program, a ministry of the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptists have been heavily involved in disaster relief, in particular with hurricane relief. One of the leading non-governmental organizations to get boots on the ground and respond to needs present when it comes to different hurricanes and flooding and tornadoes. So we want to talk to David about what they do and what they're seeing currently with hurricane relief, with recovery efforts with Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, and of course Hurricane Maria that recently hit Puerto Rico. But first, a word from our sponsors.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. My name's Shane Vanderhart. And without further delay, here's my interview with David Melber, the Vice President of Send Relief of the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. So, David, welcome. Thank you for talking with us today. The first thing I want to ask you is, what does the Send Relief with the North American Mission Board do?
We basically bring awareness and create pathways for people to engage in mercy and compassion ministries, of which disaster relief is one of those particular areas.
What are some of the other areas that you guys are involved with?
We work dealing with the general area of poverty, refugees and internationals, foster care and adoption, human trafficking, and then disaster relief.
Okay. And with disaster relief, how long have the Southern Baptists been involved in providing disaster relief?
Just over 50 years. The 50th anniversary of disaster relief was January this year, and it actually started in Texas in a hurricane response down there. And it's been just an amazing 50 years of what the Lord has done through the collective and cooperating efforts of Southern Baptists across North America.
So as far as when you guys provide disaster relief, what different types of things do you guys do for not just hurricane relief, but maybe other responses too?
Yeah, we respond to everything from forest fires to tornadoes, earthquakes, other type fire loss, and any kind of storms and, not just natural disasters, but, in some cases man-made as well, where we have chaplains go in and provide emotional and spiritual care in the aftermath of just tragic events.
Right. So, as far as some of the services you provide for, you know, just say for instance with Harvey, Harvey, Irma, and Maria, do you provide the same types of services, or are they somewhat customized based on some of the needs on the ground?
Yeah, in general, in a flooding response, most are pretty consistent. We do everything from mass care feeding for those that were either evacuated or, you know, lost temporary use of their homes. We also do general cleanup and what's called mud out of homes that were flooded, and then help prepare them to get to the point where you can actually rebuild and move back into that home. Chainsaw teams, child care, we provide laundry, just a host of services that one might imagine you would need if you went through an event like that. So distribution of supplies, that are basic to human life, and then also just other ways to help people begin to get back on their feet.
So what kind of an impact are you seeing with this hurricane season so far? What kind of response has the church made to Harvey and to Irma and to Maria?
Yeah, I think there's been an incredible response. I mean, these are unprecedented disasters that we've experienced here, and the workload and the needs are really just beyond anything that would have ever been imagined. Certainly in Harvey, just the number of homes that were flooded across Texas is just, like I say, at an unimaginable level. And of course, what's going on in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands with, you know, just massive loss and loss of power. So we've been very thankful for the collective response of people just wanting to step up and make a difference. But in spite of everything good going on, we're realizing that, you know, so much more is needed. And that's probably one of our greatest concerns as we look to the future is just, you know, we desperately need teams and people that will continue to want to be involved or get involved for the first time in these coming months and even years because of the very nature of how significant these disasters have been.
Great. So have you heard any stories on the ground as far as, personal impacts that you guys are making with different families?
Yeah. Beyond just the basic care for the physical needs, the amount of people that have been, open to just asking, why are you here and why are you doing this? Which leads to the conversation of, you know, why we're there. I mean, ultimately we're there to represent Christ in these times of disasters and be able to share that, you know, beyond this earth and the temporal things, there is hope and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've just heard, you know, numerous stories of people that were, before this tragedy, they were not open or even willing to discuss things of relating to the church or to Christ. But because of the challenges that they've experienced, I mean, the Lord has just opened their hearts up. And, you know, we've seen, just hundreds and hundreds come to know Christ as Lord and Savior through this.
Great. And I'm just, that's awesome to hear. Also, what are some of the biggest needs that you guys have currently with each of these disasters? And how can people get involved?
Okay, one, in the Texas area, because of Hurricane Harvey and the subsequent flooding of all the rain, we continue to need resources to help people rebuild and reestablish their lives, which, you know, primarily at this point are still really financial, where the most appropriate goods and services can be purchased for, you know, the specific communities. Secondly, we need participation with people that, you know, teams would continue to come and serve alongside local churches there to help rebuild and reestablish these communities. As far as Hurricane Maria, as it hit, you know, most significantly Puerto Rico with the amount of people there, and then, of course, the Virgin Islands, there will just be a massive amount of need there for rebuilding the entire infrastructure of those islands. I mean, some of that will be done through our government and through you know, national entities that are government related.
Right.
But for us as believers to come alongside the local churches in these affected areas and help them to rebuild and help get them reestablished as the pillars in the community, we just have, again, needs for, you know, not only the financial resource, but also the resource of human investment of time in service in both Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands.
Okay. Have you encountered, seen any, you know, anything more challenging in particular as far as trying to provide response to Hurricane Maria victims? It seemed, from an outsider perspective, it seemed like relief was starting to get there a little bit later than maybe we responded to Harvey and Irma. I mean, part of that could be too. It's an island nation, I guess, but or not an island.
One of the most challenging aspects for both Virgin Islands and Maria as an impacted Puerto Rico is simply the it affected everyone. So the logistical infrastructure to distribute anything on that island, and you know, we're involved in a FEMA response that by the end of this week there will be a projected 6 million meals per day being provided to the residents there. And to be able to have the backflow of people, delivery vehicles, supplies, and the infrastructure to deliver that amount of meals was just, I mean, it is very complicated.
Right.
And it took time. I mean, our government has sent drivers to Puerto Rico because so many of the, even the trucking and transport drivers in Puerto Rico, because they were impacted, cannot even, you know, get out from their homes.
Right.
To be able to drive the trucks that delivers fuel into the areas, or they can't, you know, drive trucks that would help, you know, move trees or different things out of there. So we, and this is a collective effort between FEMA and Red Cross and other national volunteer agencies, building that system to get, in a sense, Puerto Rico to the point that you can actually deliver meals like that has just taken time. And it's, I think, just far more challenging than what, you know, probably the average person realizes. I mean, some could maybe go down there at a very small scale and do something, but as far as serving the whole country, it's just taking time.
Well, sir, as far as you know, 6 million meals, how does it compare to what you know with Harvey and Irma? How many meals have you guys?
There's not anywhere near that. I mean, there'll be more meals served in a day in Puerto Rico than there were served in the collective response of, you know, a week with, you know, Harvey or anything like that. So it's on a scale that is really unlike anything that has happened. And that's a combination of shelf stable product. It's a combination of box meals. It's a combination of Southern Baptist cooking meals in local schools to be distributed. So it's coming through a variety of sources to reach that total number.
That's incredible. I noticed as far as you guys' involvement in fighting human trafficking, I'm just kind of curious, what do Southern Baptists do in regard to helping fight human trafficking?
Well, a couple of things. One, we want to create awareness around this is something that goes on in many communities across North America. And I think the reality is we have a lot of people across the country that believe, well, I've heard of human trafficking and it may happen in Southeast Asia, or it may happen in, you know, certain large cities. But I think it's creating the awareness that every community is susceptible to this. So one, being aware. Secondly, because of that awareness, being able to help teach preventable steps that one could take to help people in their community avoid falling prey to that, you know, terrible circumstance. And then finally, we're also involved with, you know, some partner entities where there's safe homes and different things like that that we help support kind of on the back end of human trafficking, where we want to see people rescued out of that. So it's both not just the rescuing, but also the preventative and awareness component that we spend a lot of our efforts trying to, you know, just make our people aware where they can address it and keep people from being entering that system.
Well, hey, David, thank you so much for the work that you do. And I'm actually a member of a Southern Baptist Church. So I'm thrilled about the involvement of Southern Baptists in disaster relief. And I think it's a great testimony, to see the church leading in response to this, and how people have risen up to help and participate. And I'm, just for our listeners, where can people go to learn to donate as well as to volunteer?
Yeah, you can go to our website at nam.net/sendrelief, and there's steps there where you can sign up a group to participate in some of these response areas, and there's also ways that you can actually give the precious resources that are needed for those that have been impacted, so that we can get the most appropriate supplies and life-saving equipment to them on the field as soon as possible. So again, nam.net/sendrelief.
All right, David, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And take care.
Keep hey, thank you work. For having us.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And this concludes our podcast. Thanks for listening. I hope you found that interview informational. Don't forget to check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Sign up for our emails, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Make sure you don't miss a single update. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. Until next time, take care.